All glory to God Almighty. Millions and millions of people are beginning to wake up, and the genie cannot be put back in the bottle. Take a look at the public square. Just go on X, any one of these various social media platforms, including Instagram and TikTok. Look at the comment sections all over the place. And that strikes fear into the heart of the enemy, because these are conversations that you were supposed to be fearful of having. You were never allowed to question or criticize certain things or certain groups of so-called marginalized people. Just think of where we are now in comparison to where we were on October 7th of 2023. Just think about the dialogue and the conversation and the exchanges that are taking place out in the wide open, as compared to where we were when I sat down with surviving members of the USS Liberty. Think of where we are now in comparison to where we were when I made what's now referred to as an infamous appearance on another popular platform with a show host who people have looked to for the truth for decades. And when he asked me, what do you think is going wrong? What do you think is happening? And I pointed to the military-industrial complex. And I pointed to the Rothschild criminal central banking cabal. And I pointed to the Federal Reserve. And I pointed to infiltration, I pointed to occupation, I pointed to the military-industrial complex, to the American war empire, to the Israeli genocidal war machine. When I pointed to child sex trafficking and usury and the Noahide laws. And I didn't know half then what I now know about our greatest enemy. And people are learning, all glory to God Almighty. People are waking up so rapidly, and they cannot put the cork back in the wine bottle. They can't stop the flow of truthful information. People are exposing themselves by softening the edges or avoiding a controversial topic altogether, bowing to the same paymasters that an administration is now doing the bidding of, where millions of people would have previously never questioned this administration because it's led by Donald Trump, who has been propped up as a hero, a messiah of sorts. People would have never questioned Elon Musk, despite the fact that he wants to put a chip in your brain and is currently building AI, which he says is going to obliterate humanity. But yet people still continued to blindly follow and worship and prop him up as a hero. The free speech icon when he purchased Twitter and turned it into X. You remember that? And nothing strikes fear into the heart of the enemy like the truth does. And nothing makes the truth more painful than when millions and millions of people start speaking it and it cannot be stopped. And that's happening right now. People were not ready to question these people when I spoke with Phil Turney. People were not willing to question these people when October 7th happened, or when I sat down with Alex Jones on InfoWars. People may not have been ready to talk about this when I released this film, Occupied. But now they are. And the enemy is running for cover. They are in full panic mode. The time is now. They're going for broke because they see the real truth. They see the real information. They see real brave and courageous people who are saying, I have had enough. I will no longer allow my fellow brothers and sisters or Americans or this country to sin again. They will never be led astray by your lies ever again. From the pulpit or from the lectern in churches or congressional hearings or on Capitol Hill or in the Oval Office, we're going to call them out. It doesn't matter the size of your audience or your influence anymore, because if you are not addressing the most imminent threat that's currently facing our children and our country and our prosperity and our freedom and our individual liberties, if you are not willing to point to the source of all of the problems that you opine on every day, then you're a sellout and a fraud and a coward and a liar. And we're not listening to you anymore. You have become irrelevant, completely and totally irrelevant. and they're panicking. Here is the lead singer of Disturbed, David Draiman, answering when I said my ancestors didn't die so that I would have to submit to a bunch of Jews. He said, quote, they died so they wouldn't have to deal with the embarrassment of your birth and your existence. They're panicking. Ironically, Disturbed's first song was Down with a Sickness. Well, let me just tell you something, Jew. We have identified the sickness, and it's time that it goes down. Also, not so ironically, that same band covered the song Sound of Silence. You're not going to get silence anymore. The silence is going away. No longer are we going to stay silent while hundreds of thousands of children are picked up for trafficking, having their organs harvested, being raped, sold off into slavery, or sacrificed at the altar of Moloch. No longer are we going to be silent. You won't hear the sound of silence as buildings, schools, libraries, churches, hospitals, apartment complexes, and entire city blocks are leveled and obliterated by the Israeli war criminal machine. And so while people may not have been ready during any of the aforementioned dates, they're ready now. So we're going to deviate outside. I'm going to throw a little curveball here on April 1st. We're going to deviate outside of today's scheduled show, and we're going to re-air Occupied. So please, grab your friends, grab your family, anybody who's important to you, who you care about. If you care about the future of your neighbor or the lady that you go to church with or the man behind the counter at the supermarket, at the meat section, or in the deli, if you care about your children and they're of appropriate age, or your aunt or your uncle or your mother or your grandmother or grandfather, bring them to your television and cast this episode of The Stu Peters Show on your screens right now. They weren't ready in November. They may not have been ready in October when I sat down with that coward liar. They may not have been ready in the beginning of October on the 7th. They may not have been ready previous, but they're ready now.
I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, streets of cobblestone, with the halo of a streetlamp, I turned my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night, touch the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing. The sound.
לא רק זה, קודם כל, לתת להם מכות, לא רק מכה, מכות כל כך מחירות, שהמחיר יהיה כבד מצוא, כרגע המחיר לא כבד מצוא, בא לך התקפה רבת היקף, ברשות הפלסטינית.
זה
הייתה לפחד שהכל מתמוטט.
לא פוחדים, צוחקים להם, ירו לנו את הישרת
פה וצחוק
וזה. פשוט הם לא פוחדים, צוחק.
זה מה שמביא אותם.
אז הרגע, אבל אז השוק פעם העולם יגיד מה אתם
מפורשים.
אתה לא פוחד
מהעולם, ביבי. במיוחד היום עם אמריקה, אני יודע מה זה אמריקה. אמריקה זה לא שאפשר להזיז אותו בקלות, להזיז לכיוון הנכון.
אמרו שהם בעדינו, אבל כאילו...
לא יחיו לנו.
אז אם אנחנו עושים
לזה
משהו, אז...
יש שאלה, נכון, אני אמרו, 80% מהאמריקאים תומכים בה. זה אבסורד, יש לנו שם תמילה כזו, ואנחנו אומרים מה נעשה עם מה...
And the world stands by while 15,000 children are being slaughtered, 35,000 men and women are children. And it's unbelievable, the genocide that's happening. A child with no head, a child with no head. And the Israeli government say it's a mistake, a mistake. I hope that Benjamin Netanyahu burns in hell the same way them children and their families burned. I hope him and his generals and the Farai government in Israel, that when their God finally brings him to the resting place, that he deserves to burn in hell. Because what is happening now, not alone is it apartheid, not alone is it atrocity and a war crime, it's just horrific. It's just horrific what they're doing. Where is their soul? Where is the soul of the Israeli people that allows their government to do this to children? Where is their humanity?
Deep down, all of us do know something is terribly wrong, at the least. Even if you have your nice gated community, you know, and your kids have a trust fund. So when I came out of the Marines, my commitment was to truth and to never give up my freedom again. And I've definitely honored that. Even though I've been in prisons and jails, I'm still free. I quote Malcolm X routinely. When he was asked, what is the price for freedom? He didn't hesitate. The price for freedom is death. And if you aren't willing to pay that price, then don't use that word in your vocabulary. Yeah, that's a real man right there. But freedom without ethics and values, the family and all of this, that is a disaster. That's Satan's selling point right there. I traveled through the West Bank and I made it my point to talk to as many people as possible. I met like warriors. I met doctors. I met politicians. I met everyday people. I lived in Nablus. I lived in Qalqilya. I lived in Ramallah. And I traveled all around and I saw and I knew from like right from the get-go, wow, I don't know how the Palestinians can even do this, man. I would be unhinged. Like, if this was where I came from and I was being forced. But that revealed my ignorance of just how deep it is, because if you stand up as a warrior in Palestine, they won't just punish you. They won't. They'll sodomize you with a red hot steel. Like, this is the kind of shit you need to be ready to face. If you're going to stand up and do the right thing in Palestine, the enemy you're facing is truly satanic.
An investigation is underway into whether Israeli forces blowing up the main drinking water reservoir in Rafah constitutes as a war crime. A soldier posted a video on social media showing the explosion with the caption, "The destruction of Tel Sultan's water reservoir in honor of Shabbat." The order to blow up the facility allegedly came from Israeli army commanders, but senior officers reportedly never signed off. The water reserve is near a neighborhood close to areas Israel designated as humanitarian areas.
People think this has been something that started on October 7th and it was completely unpredictable, and Hamas, the terrible terrorists, just did this. I mean, Hamas is a creation of Israel out of a necessity to push back against what Israel was doing. It's ethnic cleansing. And it's going to expand to create greater Israel. That's what this is really about. This is why they are using exactly the same tactics on Lebanon now, saying they need to go in and completely eradicate Hezbollah. When I went to Palestine, they were the most beautiful people I've ever met. I've been to over 60 countries, nearly 70 countries, probably more than 70 countries. And out of all the people that I've met anywhere in the world, the Palestinians were the most down-to-earth, sincere, kind, beautiful people I met anywhere. Israel is going to continue to do what it does because it has the support of our governments. So I guess it's up to us to remove support for those governments from us. This is what I said even when I became a Palestinian activist back in 2012, that I put a lot of focus on Israel. Then I realized that you're not going to heal it by focusing on Israel. You've got to focus on the fact that our governments are controlled by these people, and that's who's funding it all, allowing it to happen. Like you say, all the bombs they're using are US bombs. It's got to stop. It's really got to stop.
They've killed, like, I think the newest estimate is like 180,000 civilians, like, in Gaza. So it's like, yeah, 1,200 people is bad, but like they've been whining about it for a year. And it's kind of like the example I give is like, you know, if you get fucking robbed in Compton, that doesn't mean you carpet bomb fucking Compton. You know, if there's a school shooter, you don't blow up the fucking school because there's a bad guy in there. So this idea of like, oh, well, there's a bad guy in the hospital, so we're going to blow up the fucking hospital and we're going to kill a bunch of civilians. It's like, it's just fucking bullshit. You know, and I think people realize this fucking bullshit, and they've got tons of babies with like gunshot wounds to the head, like direct to the heart. It's like not an accident. You don't accidentally shoot a baby in the head fucking twice. You know, it's like, and so they're targeting civilians, they're targeting children, they're just fucking blowing up hospitals, blowing up fucking mosques. Like, it's absurd. And I think like when they sectioned everybody off into fucking Rafah, and then they went in there and fucking bombed Rafah, the refugee camp. I mean, for me, that was it. That was just like, you know what? Fuck these motherfuckers. Like, I've had it. I know it's obviously going to be bad for me to say anything about them because they fucking have so much control and everybody that does. Like, well, look at what they did to fucking Kanye. I mean, Candace, the moment she said anything, they fucking fired her from her job. Like, you see what they fucking do. I mean, they destroy people. They destroy their fucking, you know, finances, their reputation. They try and throw them in jail. Like, so it's obviously fucking terrible, but at some point, like, you gotta stand up and be like, fucking enough, you know, enough is fucking enough.
Yet another school attack, because we've talked about so many of them during the last 10 months. And yet again, August has been another bloody month for the numbers of deaths of children and women in what should be safe havens.
Well, yes, this is the ninth school that has been targeted since August. And we have been counting those schools, and every school is a complete misery and catastrophe. According to the civil defense teams, they're saying that there's a lot more Palestinians still trapped under the rubble. They say that the buildings completely collapsed once there was... the airstrike targeted the school, and the civil defense teams are trying their best to rescue as much people as possible. Now, most of those who were killed were children and women.
How can I know the experience of a Palestinian in Gaza unless I listen to them? So I listened. What they told me was that they don't want aid. They want freedom of movement and the ability to import and export, so that they can create their own jobs and economy. They can't get the textiles in to produce this. They can't get the industrial sewing machines. And even if they could make them in there, their factory will probably be bombed.
People are saying free Palestine, and Israel saying free Palestine from Hamas, you know? And we're going to free Palestine from Hamas by killing everybody, you know, leveling the whole place. And now they're saying they got to free Lebanon from Hezbollah. And there's already one Jewish rabbi calling for complete occupation of Lebanon, which is the plan. This is what Greater Israel is all about.
Scenes like this, playing out hundreds of times across Lebanon within the space of an hour. A targeted, coordinated, highly technical attack.
These pagers exploded while people were on the road, going about their daily lives, basically, in supermarkets and hospitals, driving their cars, getting their kids from school. So it's a huge blow. Israel is clearly pushing the boundaries and seeing how far it can get away with. The message to Israel so far has been from the international community writ large has been, you can get away with a lot.
Don't let the IRS rob you. Where is your money going? Over 4 million government credit cards by federal employees were used to make 90 million transactions with no accountability. DOGE has found $4.7 trillion in federal spending that is untraceable or fraudulent. You work hard to pay your bills, and a significant portion of your money is funneled to thieves and fraudsters through the taxes you pay to the IRS. The IRS wants you to feel powerless. Be a slave that shuts up and give them your hard-earned money. But there is a way out of this slavery. Freedom Law School has been teaching Americans for over 30 years that no law requires 99% of Americans to file and pay income tax. None of their students who have stopped paying have gone to prison or had their bank account or property stolen by the IRS. Go to freedomlawschool.org today to take 7 steps to freedom from IRS deception, robbery, and slavery. For freedom, go to freedomlawschool.org today.
You will own nothing and you'll be happy. This is where we're at right now. We don't have a right to complain if you're funding the big woke banks, the investment managers, if you're funding all these companies that believe against your values, if they're killing babies, if they have the woke agenda, if they're pro-LGBT, then you own that company. What are you doing today to refocus, realign your investment so that it matches your ethics, your American Christian-based value views? At Cortez Wealth Management, we want to create a solution that we can avoid the CBDC, can help you with your retirement, get you a reasonable rate of return, not fund China or any other communistic countries. And number 5, work with a God-fearing fiduciary that has your best interest, that aligns with your values, that aligns with your beliefs, your religious beliefs, your spiritual beliefs, and that we can honor God, country, and family. Give us a call, 813-448-3446.
An Israeli flag hoisted above a rubble-strewn Lebanese village. Parts of southern Lebanon now resemble the apocalyptic landscape of Gaza. This, apparently, all that's left of the border town of Yarun. The Israeli army announced today another military division has now been deployed into Lebanon. Around 15,000 soldiers are said to be taking part in the invasion.
Imagine further knowing that your child could be taken away from you at any point. Imagine even further having your child wetting their bed at night when they hear a helicopter, when your kids hear a helicopter fly overhead, what, oh, look, the helicopter. Do you know what they're thinking over there in Gaza? That is the sound of death. That is the sound of a rocket coming through your home. That is the sound of the building collapsing on top of you and your family. So they wet themselves at night. Imagine being the father. What are you going to do for your child? What are you going to say? Are you going to say, don't worry, it'll be okay? It won't. You're lying. You can say it, but you can't actually provide it. Imagine what that would do to your psyche. This is what they've been dealing with. Really. And this is why, like, I will die before I will ever turn my back.
Israeli soldiers have been going in and carrying out this genocide in Gaza. The patches they've got on their arm are patches of Greater Israel. It's not a map of Israel. It's a map that encompasses Israel, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria, southern Turkey, the Sinai, the top of Saudi Arabia, going right across into the River Euphrates in Iraq, and encompassing all of eastern Egypt up to the Nile as well. If we can get Iran involved and bring Europe into it, then that will create the cover it needs to take over all of this area that it wants to control.
Maybe I killed a girl, she was 12, but I'm looking for a baby.
I don't even know how they do it. I don't know how they manage to keep hate out of their hearts. I really don't. They inspire me to no end. They are the antithesis. They are the opposite of what people have been told. And by the way, I mean, while we're at it, I mean, all those vehicles on October 7th, Hamas didn't have any weapons that could burn vehicles like that. That was the IDF. And now we know about the Hannibal Directive. Right. How many Americans know about the Hannibal Directive?
Aren't we not now in a situation where Israel may be using the Hannibal Directive, not just on Israelis, civilians and military, but on U.S. citizens and other foreign nationals?
So I am not familiar in any way with either that supposed directive or those reports. And so
you've never heard of the Hannibal?
Certainly would not want to comment on it.
You've never heard of the Hannibal Directive?
With what happened on October 7th, they most definitely employed the Hannibal Directive and killed many of their own citizens. Most of the people who died that day were killed by Israeli forces. We've got video footage of helicopters strafing the ground. We've got video footage of tanks blowing up houses. There's no way Hamas could have done the sort of damage that we saw on that day. They simply don't have the weapons to do it. This was contrived. The fact that they pulled all the people away from the border, apparently they had the plans for this invasion for 2 years before it happened. And it was a gift to them. It's exactly what they needed to provide the excuse to go in and ethnically cleanse the Gaza Strip.
It's an inside job, for sure. Don't be foolish that all of a sudden they broke in 15 different places in a fence and nobody showed up for 8 hours. Nobody showed up. No helicopters, no F-16, nothing. It has to be an inside job.
We'll do whatever we need to do to defend ourselves.
I mean, I get it. Like, you know, fucking October 7th happened and you're mad and you want to retaliate. Like, okay, fine. But like, it's been fucking, you know, almost a year now. Like, enough. Like, 180,000 people, like, you know, like how many people have to fucking die? And not only that, but like everybody wants to look at October 7th, like that's when it started. It's like these motherfuckers have been like persecuting these Palestinians for like 75 years. Like started with like they fucking like welcomed them in with open arms and they fucking stole their homes, kicked them out.
The state of Israel started in 1948 when the Jews came down from Europe and colonized Palestine and started ethnically cleansing the place, and they've been doing so ever since. Well, May 15th, 1948 was the Nakba when they expelled 700,000 Palestinians, and it's been ongoing. Gaza has been under siege since, or blockade since 2005. The Jews will claim that we gave them full autonomy. We left Gaza and we gave it back to them, but we put a wall around it and we continue to control every aspect of everything that goes on there. We control the water, the electricity, the amount of food, everything. They've even measured the amount of people in Gaza and figured out how many calories you need to keep that population alive, and that is all the food they will allow in.
אנחנו מטילים מצור מוחלט על העיר עזה. אין חשמל, אין מזון, אין מים, אין דלק. הכל סגור.
Honestly, I can just even get into some of the things that they deal with. And it would break your heart, man. I mean, it's just really something else. If you ain't crying about this stuff, then you've lost part of your humanity. I don't need my child to be violated this way to know how I would feel. So by talking to people in these places and hearing their stories, I was able to get into their world and understand where they were coming from, and also be deeply inspired by the way that they would share, first off, these terrible things. Do you think if you had your child molested and killed that you'd want to be talking about that to the next reporter? No, probably not. But the way they communicated to me, and they an absence of hatred. Like, honestly, I can honestly say that of all the Palestinians that I've met, even like I haven't now been for several years, but even now, they would live side by side with Jews if they were able to do so, with everyone being treated equal under the law. And they did. For anyone who knows true history, it was the Palestinians who took them in when they weren't being taken in elsewhere, and Europe was saying, get the fuck out.
As a Jewish person, like, I was fed a huge amount of lies about Israel.
Me too.
my entire life, you know.
Yeah.
They never tell you that, oh, by the way, there were people there. They make it seem like it was just like they're sitting there.
Yeah,
it was
the
fucking doors open.
Hours for the taking.
Yeah. Like, it literally, they forget to include the fact to every young Jewish person, basically, like, oh, by the way, there were people there.
Well, they just want to make sure that you are frightened of your own survival to the point where when you get old enough, you will make sure that that money goes to Israel and that trees are planted and that you always speak highly of Israel, and Israel must survive no matter what.
Yeah, and I don't understand it at all. Oh.
Bella Hadid and Gigi Hadid, like her dad, Muhammad, like his family literally welcomed in some Jewish immigrants, and then those people fucking like threw them out of their own home at gunpoint and they became refugees. Like, that's how he ended up in America.
When a ship came from Poland with refugees, from Jewish refugees from Poland and Germany, whatever, and they went to several countries first, went to America, and then went to Cuba, and they wouldn't let them off, so they came to Haifa. My parents and some families went down to Safa, and they picked up some Jewish families from, you know, to them, they were refugees, and they had a banner on the side of their boat saying, we lost our homes in Germany and our hope. Can you don't let us our hope and here in your country? So, and they took them, they took two families, each took two families, and others did, and they brought them to our house, to my father's house. And they lived with us for 2.5 years. And my mother went to Nazareth, to her parents' house or grandfather's house, wherever they're called their home. And I was 9 days old when she came back to Safed to take me inside our home. And we were locked out.
Anytime you criticize it, it's like it's anti-Semitic. And it's like, this is such a fucking bullshit word. They're not even Semites. Like 80% of the people that are in Palestine actually have ancient Hebrew DNA, which makes them a Semite. Most of these fucking Jews that are over there are Eastern European Jews and have no fucking actual Hebrew DNA, which is why it is illegal to fucking test DNA in fucking Israel.
I'm about to show you something extremely controversial. It's even illegal in the state of Israel to obtain this. And if you do obtain it, it's illegal to show it and or talk about it. Ladies and gentlemen, my DNA. Now, I bet you thought it was going to be a lot crazier than that, right? Now, you might ask yourself, why is it illegal to obtain this in the state of Israel? Because it proves through your DNA that Jews around the world have no ancestral ties to the land of Israel. But according to Israeli law, the fact that I have Jewish blood gives me more right to somebody's home and land in the land of Palestine than somebody that has been there for hundreds of years. Doesn't make sense.
98% of the people in Israel have no Hebrew DNA. The Palestinians have Hebrew DNA. They're the original people from there. And they're not even Semites. I mean, everything they say is backwards. You're not a race. So You're saying this is our homeland. Well, okay, if it's a religious homeland, then it's also the homeland of the Christians and the Muslims as well. Jerusalem is where it all started. All Abrahamic religions come from there. So why are you guys singled out? Well, because we're God's chosen people. No, it was the people who chose God, which were not called Jews. They were called Israelites, which has nothing to do with a block of land in Palestine.
You know, when you start labeling these things as like anti-Semitic, it's like, wait, so being anti-genocide is anti-Semitic? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, wait, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, yeah. What are you talking about?
You don't support mass murder, you're an anti-Semite of the worst order.
Yeah, it's like, so anything that Israel does, okay, and if you criticize, it's anti-Semitic. That's just, like, crazy talk. That's, like, literally, like, what the fucking worst dictators enact before they go commit fucking heinous crimes. It's like, you can't fucking criticize us. You know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing they do. It's the first thing the Bolsheviks did, first thing fucking Stalin did, first thing Mao did. You know what I mean? Like, all these dictators that go out and do fucked up things, the first thing that they do is make it illegal to criticize them. And so what are they trying to do in the fucking U.S.? They're trying to make it illegal to criticize Israel. I don't know. Maybe they already did. They, like, definitely, like, tried to pass some legislation.
I mean, Ron DeSantis passed legislation in Israel for the Sunshine State of Florida making anti-Semitic speech illegal.
No, it was just fucking crazy. Yeah. Just absolutely fucking crazy. And then they were going to, like, try and put, like, anything against Israel under that umbrella of, like, anti-Semitism, which is fucking absurd. Like, you can criticize the U.S. government all you want, but if you criticize Israel, like, we're going to fucking throw you in jail? Like, that's craziness. Like,
well, so basically what you've just said is that that means by de facto, Benjamin Netanyahu is the president of the United States and his government now reigns over ours.
I mean, clearly, you look at who you can't criticize and that's who controls you.
Today, the Jews rule this world by proxy. They get others to fight and die for them. They invented socialism, communism, human rights, and democracy so that persecuting them would appear to be wrong, so they may enjoy equal rights with others. With these, they have now gained control of the most powerful countries.
This is something that has to be addressed. This is the consequences of what happens when we don't stand for righteousness.
God, right now, would you protect the nation of Israel and protect those of us, not just our church, but every church in the world and in this nation that's willing to put their neck on the line and say, we stand with them.
These people are not real Christians, a lot of these evangelists. And they're always Israel, 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 God's chosen people. This has been put into people's minds since birth in the United States, and they cannot separate that.
Our greatest ally should not be fucking extorting our politicians. It should not be blackmailing us. It should not be conducting false flag fucking attacks. Like, It's crazy. Like, we literally should be at war with fucking Israel 100 times over, and instead we're just sending them money, and it's fucking craziness. Like, it's absolute craziness when you look into this, and then you got all of our fucking congressmen, like, up there, like, you know, fucking clapping like fucking idiot seals, like, for this guy's stupid fucking speech. This is a convicted goddamn war criminal conducting fucking genocide currently, sucking money out of our economy, providing us zero fucking benefit. And they always like say, oh, well, you know, they give us intelligence. Like, oh yeah, fucking intelligence. Like, how about when Netanyahu testified in front of fucking Congress that, you know, Iraq had weapons of mass destruction?
There is no question whatsoever that Saddam is seeking and is working and is advancing towards the development of nuclear weapons. No question whatsoever. And there is no question that once he acquires it, history shifts immediately. If you look at those who harbor terrorists and those who support terrorists.
I guess I was looking for a connection between September 11th and my understanding why we went to the Taliban is there was a connection there. They were harboring somebody that we believed did the act on September 11th.
Yes, that's the first reason why you did it.
Now you're going to take me from September 11th to Iraq somehow?
And he lied to Congress. And the intelligence that we used to take this country to war in Iraq and the Middle East was based off of intelligence from Israel, by the way. Israeli intelligence formed the bulk of the motivation behind these Middle Eastern wars.
In the days after the September attacks, there were countless rumors about strange coincidences surrounding the events. One report about a group of Middle Eastern men spotted the morning of September 11th parked just across the river from New York City has not gone away.
3, 2, 1.
Investigation of their presence has led to questions about whether Israel was conducting espionage on U.S. soil.
140 Israeli individuals have been arrested and detained in what government documents describe as, quote, an organized intelligence gathering operation designed to, quote, penetrate government facilities.
The FBI has now put out an APB in all points bulletin nationwide. They're looking for a white Chevy van. If you see this van, you're asked to contact the FBI immediately.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained. With respect to why they are being detained and the other aspects of your question, whether it's because they are in intelligence services or what they were doing, I will defer to the Department of Justice and the FBI to answer that.
This is a case that took the FBI and the CIA more than 2 months to sort out.
It began when this woman was watching the Twin Towers burning from her apartment in New Jersey. She noticed three men on top of a van posing for pictures with the towers burning in the background.
And I could see that they were like happy. You know, they didn't look shocked to me. I thought it was very strange.
The witness called police, who stopped the van hours later and arrested five men. All five, it turns out, were Israeli.
And you can see the two towers, a huge explosion now, raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way! Change is gonna come.
They literally had tripods set up in New Jersey, ready, waiting for the falling of the towers. I mean, look. The one thing you notice about these Talmudic agents is that time and time again, there's just too many patterns that connect and point one way. You know, whether it's Epstein and all those things stacking up perfectly, or this one, all these details stacking up perfectly, it seems to be funny that they just demand people to call it coincidental and move on. And I think people are getting fed up with the bullshit.
Then there was the strange case of Odigo. You may have heard me speaking about this in a prior episode. So Odigo, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but it was an instant messaging service. It was Israel-owned, and it was operated by Israel with headquarters that were based just 2 blocks away from the World Trade Center. Now, according to Haaretz, that is an Israeli-owned publication. Check out this headline, which was published September 26th. That's 15 days after the attack. 15 days after 9/11, Haaretz says that Odigo workers were warned of the attacks. It says Odigo, the instant messaging service, says that two of its workers received messages 2 hours before the Twin Towers attack on September 11th, predicting that the attack would happen. And the company has been cooperating with Israeli and American law enforcement, including the FBI, in trying to find the original sender of the message which predicted the attack. I mean, seriously, what on earth are we talking about here? There were some people who definitively knew that something was going to take place on that day. Some people came camera ready.
The fact that the Jews had prior knowledge of it, the dancing Israelis that were filmed in court and went away and said they were there to document the event.
And at that point, we were taken for another round of questioning, this time related to our allegedly being members of Mossad. The fact of the matter is, we are coming from a country that experiences terror daily. Our purpose was to document the event.
It was a cell, one of these cells, across the Hudson River. And they got on the, this is the report, I emphasize, I don't know this for a fact, but there's several witnesses who say this happened. They got on the roof of the building to look across. They knew what was going to happen. Yeah. They were waiting for it to happen, and when it happened, they celebrated. They jumped for joy.
A major terrorist manhunt began, and just 6 hours after the attack, the van was stopped at a roadblock by patrolman Scott DiCarlo.
We were asked to detain the van and the passengers. They were just removed from the vehicle, patted down for safety precaution, and detained.
911 call at 410 Park.
I think once the FBI arrived, one of them stated that they were on our side. Something to that effect.
The police actually would not investigate. They said that they have nothing to do with that. And so it seems that they are, within their own communities, a protected class of citizen, which explains why they would get away dancing in the street on one of the most damning days in American history. Just look at their behavior. Certainly, this was something that they wanted. They celebrated it.
Benjamin Netanyahu said in a book in the 1990s that if we don't see the threat of militant Islam, then pretty soon militant Islam will bring down the World Trade Center.
The West really doesn't understand militant Islam. So I wrote a book in 1995, and I said that if the West doesn't wake up to the suicidal nature of militant Islam, the next thing you'll see is the militant Islam is bringing down the World Trade Center.
Nice prediction there. Just a bit of psychic, was he? You know, like Israel did 9/11. It's got Israeli fingerprints all over it. And with any of that sort of stuff, you just got to say, you know, cui bono, who benefits? And the only people who benefited from 9/11 is Israel, and even Benjamin Netanyahu said that as well. He said the one thing we are benefiting from at the moment is the attack on the World Trade Center.
Netanyahu said, quote, "We're benefiting from one thing, and that is the attack on the Twin Towers and Pentagon and the American struggle in Iraq."
I mean, they do these false flag attacks all the time. How much evidence do people need? And what would be the benefit for the Arab world blowing up Twin Towers? I mean, how have they benefited from this? Have a look at Iraq. Have a look at what we've done to the Arab world since that event happened. And look what Israel has got from that event happening. And ask yourself, who benefits?
Oh my God. Yeah, but then that side exploded. How did that side explode? Blew up. It shouldn't have gone. Way after that one.
Well, there's one thing for sure if you look into 9/11, and that is every single thing the mainstream media and the government said about it is actually impossible. It's the craziest conspiracy theory ever, that a guy in a cave in Afghanistan blew up three towers in New York with two planes, which is impossible. And they all fell at free fall speed, which is not possible without controlled demolitions. They took lots of photos and pictures of themselves. There was the dancing Israelis dancing afterwards. The involvement is quite clear. And what's most clear is that the official narrative for it is all lies. Absolutely all lies.
It was those who had the access, the ability to carry off what is an extraordinary operation. I mean, you're talking four different locations, three different buildings taken out, well, more actually. You have to have one hell of a lot of resources to even think to do something like this. So who would have had an opportunity to possibly bring down those buildings? Well, maybe the people who control the buildings, and who is that?
The American government rounded up 200 Israeli operatives after 9/11, during their 9/11 sweep operation, and deported them back to Israel. The Israelis invented modern terrorism, they admit it. That's what they used to oust the British from Palestine and take over Israel in 1948, and they've been doing it ever since. But they learned early on to make it look like Arabs and Muslims did it rather than Jews.
Maybe it wasn't the dude in the cave and the 19 box cutters who had the best ability to do this. Maybe it was the U.S. military, the enemy inside the gate, and those interests that have the political, military, and media power to be able to tell us a story so that it becomes true, even though it's patently an insult.
Donald Trump is on the line.
You look at Larry Silverstein, who's a terrific owner in New York and a very good friend of mine who I just called. I was very worried about him because I assume maybe he was in the building. He took possession of the building 1 week ago. As you know, he just bought the World Trade Center.
Right. Lo and behold, two Jewish billionaires buy two asbestos-filled buildings that are half empty, of which the Port Authority was attempting to get out from under the liability and debt associated with these worthless buildings. Two Jewish billionaires named Frank Lowy and Larry Silverstein buy these buildings, and the fact is, the literal, truthful, undeniable fact is that when they purchased the lease on the Twin Towers, they literally transferred billions of dollars of liability over to themselves, because the cost to extract the asbestos was in the billions. So you've got half-empty buildings with a precedent already of lung cancer associated with the asbestos. The Port Authority tried to get rid of it for over a decade and failed. And here come two Jewish billionaires who now take control of the buildings. And this is where Mossad had an open invitation into the buildings. Provably. Undeniably, indisputably. And who were we told did the event? The Muslims. Oh, but wait, it gets better, doesn't it?
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. And I said, you know, we've had such terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it.
Your official response was that it was the firefighters. My question is, it was pretty clear that you meant the building, and if it was the firefighters, they already are outside the building by 12 because the water lines were broken.
Ask the question.
And the fire chief that you said you spoke to, Fire Chief Nagro, denies talking to you on that day of 9/11. Can you answer those questions and address the theories against you?
I suggest everybody's consideration.
Just one question.
That we all look as the thousands of pages of testimony that have been rendered in many years since 9/11, and let's use today's session for some of this.
Are you aware of testimony of bombs in the building before the building collapsed, sir? Are you aware of that testimony? Sir, there's testimony by Bear Jennings. Sir, you don't have to touch me. Listen, I'll walk away. All I'm asking is a question. I don't have to be kicked out. It's a legitimate question. You don't have to put your hands on me. But all I'm saying is, no, I'm not. I'm here. The question was not answered. That's why I have a grievance. Okay. Larry Silverstein was told not to come into work. That's why him, his daughter, and his son never showed up to work on 9/11. He put an insurance policy on the buildings. Reporters, do your job. Please ask some questions.
The reason I feel as good as I do is because we're back in Israel, and we love coming here. On the morning of 9/11, I'm getting ready, getting dressed to go to the dermatologist. I have light-colored hair, light skin. The sun is a disaster for me. I can't take the sun. So,
Every 3 months, I went to the dermatologist like clockwork. I had to. And that morning, I said to Clara, I said, sweetheart, I've got so much work to do down at the Trade Center. Cancel the dermatologist. I'm going down. And she said, you can't cancel again. You canceled last time. You cannot cancel again. And she got angry. Now, when you're married to somebody for 50 years and they get upset and they get angry and they start screaming, the world comes to an end. And I said, okay, I'm sorry. The words are yes, dear. Whatever you want, I'll do. Don't get angry. Please don't get angry. She said, okay, but you're going to the dermatologist. You're going this morning, and you're not going downtown. Wow. Suddenly, the phone rings. It's the captain of our boat, docked at Chelsea Piers, not far from where we live and not far from the Trade Center. And he said, Mrs. Silverstein, is everything okay with Mr. Silverstein? She said, of course. Why? He said, turn on your television set. And that's when we saw the North Tower in flames. And we saw the plane circling around before it slammed into the South Tower and caused it to end up in flames. And therein was the day of the disaster of 9/11. And so we lost almost 3,000 people. It was a miracle. My life wasn't lost because she kept me from going down to the Trade Center. She just said, you've got to go to the dermatologist. By the way, I never made it to the dermatologist that day. But at least my intentions were right. Now, what I quickly had to do was find out what my obligations were. Because I had signed a contract. And now own the Trade Center. I had to rebuild like kind, like quality. And I had an obligation to collect the insurance proceeds from the policies, because that's the only place the money could come from the insurance proceeds. That was my job, my obligation, because they owned the policies. And we're going to get the money from the insurance companies with which to build. We went through an enormous amount of effort to find out what happened on 9/11 to cause the Twin Towers to collapse, and at the same time decide how to build a building safer and stronger and impenetrable so that we'd feel safe in it, and everybody else would feel safe in it also. We scoured the world for the best engineers. Where do you think we ended up? There's a country that apparently has lots of problems in making its buildings explosion-proof. It's called Israel. And guess what? It's got some of the best engineers in the world who understand safety in big buildings. Why? Because they have problems with that for the last 40, 50 years. They keep having explosions in their country. Next thing you know, we've got the designs of a building. And the first design meeting was in April of 2000. And the first design meeting was in April of 2000. And construction began shortly thereafter in 2002.
Thousands. lost on 9/11. There are thousands of pages of testimony as to what transpired. Millions of hours were spent analyzing what caused those twin towers to come down and thereafter seven. All of that is public record. We don't have to spend any more time on that.
Then why doesn't the government have explanation? Then why doesn't the government...
You're a criminal!
Then why doesn't the government have an explanation, sir? If you do, why don't they?
Enough.
Okay.
The topic is the future of Lower Manhattan.
Sir, you're disturbing our educational mission here, which is the dialogue.
This is education!
You don't want to answer the question, but first responders, they know what happened, and they're coming forward, so...
Rudy Dent, who was a friend of mine, who was the chief fire investigator on the day, who at great risk to himself said, I heard the explosions in the buildings. He passed on a few years ago. God bless you, Rudy. You know, we're not even getting into all the fucking melted steel. Like, oh my God. And then the hole in the ground in Pennsylvania. Like, what the fuck is that? You got to be a special kind of stupid to believe this shit. And this is what Americans and largely much of the world needs to acknowledge. You know, really, I'm not sitting here like, look at all you stupid. Listen, I'm just praying that you understand the necessity of humility and the ability to acknowledge when you have been wrong.
If you look at the entire political discourse and narrative of our country, there's really two events that cast a shadow onto the entire discourse. One is the Holocaust, and one is 9/11. Those are the two most sensitive talking points in regards to our narrative and identity as a country. And who is basically placating and funding both of these stories to create a victim complex while in conjunction to that still having a superiority complex with that? Well, they're both Jewish money. And this is the uncomfortable truth. So essentially, what we're having here is we're not allowed to actually ever be proud of true Americanism or nationalism or even white people being proud of their own racial consciousness, because these two narratives will make you feel like you're anti-Semitic, you're a Nazi. The thing that they fear the most is white nativism for this reason, right? So this is basically what's happening here. And 9/11 was basically a way to fully seal that while creating the Muslim boogeyman. And there always needs to be an enemy as a false flag to confuse people. And now that they had this Muslim boogeyman, it makes us not focus on the reality that we are occupied and we are colonized. So this is their objective here. So for me, I like to look at things meta and the big picture idea of what's going on here. And they cause this national tragedy and all this suffering just so that we can't look at them straight on.
Fuck the echo chamber of stupidity. This is what's selling our country down the river. The enemy is inside the gate. They cut off all sovereignty through their funny money, AIPAC, bullshit, IRS, usury, debt-based shit that Jesus hated, and so do I.
In the last town that I used to live in, I donated to... a bunch of, whatever, the governor, people in different offices, whatever. And I got weekly texts, like, you need anything? Everything all good? Like, constant, checkups. And this was, for $100,000. It was, not a lot of money in the grand scheme of things,
Yeah.
And, I just felt like if I needed a favor, I could get it. I never asked for anything. I never needed it. I mean, I'm a pretty fucking quiet guy, contrary to popular belief. I led a relatively, isolated life. And so I never needed anything, but just the fact that I got all those fucking checkups, imagine what $100 million gets. And they know that those checks are constantly coming, and they're big fucking checks.
What happens is at the campaign phase, not after one is sworn into office, at the campaign phase, all of the candidates swear this allegiance in one way or the other to Israel. Now, today, in 2024, there is language that must be placed on your website. So by the time everyone is sworn into office,
they've already pledged themselves to Israel. That is the problem. No matter who wins, no matter who loses, Israel never loses.
IPAC should be designated as a foreign occupying power. It should be designated as a spy organization. You know, they're always complaining about people trying to influence U.S. governments. You can't influence U.S. elections. What's IPAC doing there? I mean, that's what's influencing U.S. elections more than anything. It's a foreign state. And if you've got a foreign state, you've got dual citizens in your government, who do you think they're supporting? Look at the state of Israel, look at the state of Tel Aviv, and look at the state of Philadelphia. You tell me where this money's going. You tell me who's benefiting from this. When you look at the dilapidated state of the United States compared to Israel, Israel's a tiny little country, a tiny, tiny little country, and yet it gets trillions and trillions of dollars of aid from this great, vast United States, which is falling into rack and ruin because of it. And it's because of the dual citizens in your government. I mean, America should be for Americans.
We supply Israel with billions of dollars in military aid. And yet, Prime Minister Netanyahu seems to be charting his own course. Do we have a real close ally in Prime Minister Netanyahu?
I think, with all due respect, the better question is, do we have an important alliance between the American people and the Israeli people? And the answer to that question is yes.
They're everywhere. They congregate to power like moths to a flame. And you can go back in history and look at this. They're everywhere where there's power. So they insinuate themselves. You can look at the cabinet. You can look at Trump's cabinet. You can look at Biden's cabinet. It's full of Jews. The British were faced with the same problem back in World War II. Germany was faced with the same problem. Powerful people.
We must understand, as Christians in a Christian country, we have a right to be, at minimum, agnostic about the leadership being all Jewishly occupied and getting the cosign from Jewish money and power, is the point. The primary religious influence, which was Kanye's point, of a Christian country is not Christian.
If you work out, if you go to the gym, if you're trying to drop some body fat, maybe put on some lean muscle, if you're even just a little bit paying attention to your physical fitness, chances are you're probably taking a protein supplement. Back in the 80s, all of these supplement companies told us, you gotta have more protein. They started pushing this massive protein consumption theory. The more protein you have, the faster you'll achieve muscle growth and muscle mass. So let's break that down. Let's just say that you have an 8-ounce chicken breast. That means that you're consuming about 40 grams of protein. You're putting it in your mouth. But just because something contains 40 grams of protein and you put it in your mouth and swallow it, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to absorb all 40 grams, because without enzymes, most of that protein just ends up in your toilet bowl. Your small intestine can only absorb protein that's been broken down into what we call amino acids. So it doesn't matter. You can have 300 grams of protein a day. If you don't have a sufficient supply of enzymes to digest that protein, your muscles will just ignore it, fight it off. They'll starve of protein. So it's crucial that you have a high-quality enzyme. Now, before you just go running out buying bottles of enzymes, I think it's important that you know what to look for, because the sad truth is a lot of these supplement companies won't spend the money necessary to developing and stabilizing these enzymes. So the one I trust is from Bioptimizers, and it's called Masszymes. I love it because it's a full-spectrum enzyme formula with more protease than any other commercially available enzyme, with five different kinds of protease. Plus, it contains all of the enzymes that you need for optimal digestion. If your digestion is optimized, the protein that you're taking in actually goes to feed your muscles instead of going into the toilet bowl. So you're actually getting your money's worth. And today you can try it risk-free. They have a 365-day full money-back guarantee. That's the gold standard in the industry. If you want to try it, go to buyoptimizers.com/Stu Peters. Again, that's buyoptimizers.com/Stu Peters. And by the way, if you want 10% off, my good friends at Bioptimizers have offered that to you. Just use the coupon code StuPeters at checkout when you go to buyoptimizers.com/Stu Peters. I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention, because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. Please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about. Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.
The United States is completely occupied by these people through AIPAC. Every single sitting politician has an Israeli handle. You just look at Joe Biden's cabinet, dual Israeli citizens in the White House right now. You need to get all of these dual citizens out of government in all countries. The United States, I mean, you look at what the condition of the United States is in the last 10 years. I mean, I've been coming here for quite a while, and I'm seeing it become more and more dilapidated. You look at the state of affairs, look at the state of the cities in places like China that don't pay trillions of dollars to Israel. Incredible cities, incredible architecture, incredible stuff. The United States is becoming more and more depleted because all of the money is being sent to Israel. It's completely occupied by Israel. Israel controls all US foreign policies. All of the wars the United States has fought in the Middle East are all to support Israeli policies. It's a terrible state of affairs, and it has to stop. It has to change. The only real way to save the United States and save it from the direction it's going is to get all the Israeli citizens, all the dual Israeli citizens, out of government.
I am prepared to die in the battle fighting this monstrosity that would wish to enslave me and my family and steal away any rights to my property and to take away my God. Go fuck yourself. Will I submit to that? And this is their intention, to take us all over. And they're using these enemies inside the gate. But there was a man who hated them, who fought them, like a real man, not some pencil-pushing geek sending us off to wars. No, a real warrior. A man who fought them direct. If it weren't for him, they would have swept through Europe. You may have heard of this guy, Adolf.
I think in many ways we were suckered about Hitler. I think that it seems very obvious now that the Nazis were a reaction to the subversion and what happened in Weimar, what happened during the Bolshevik Revolution. Hitler, I think, was a guy who managed to bring his country to greatness and dig them out of the rubble and liberate them from the subversion that was taking place and accurately identify the problem.
In connection with the Jewish question, I have this to say. The German nation does not wish its interests to be determined and controlled by any foreign nation. France to the French, England to the English, America to the Americans, and Germany to the Germans. We are resolved to prevent the settlement in our country of a strange people which was capable of snatching for itself all the leading positions in the land, and to oust it, for it is our will to educate our own nation for these leading positions. We have hundreds of thousands of very intelligent children of peasants and of the working classes. We shall have them educated. In fact, we have already begun. Above all, German culture, as its name alone shows, is German and not Jewish, and therefore its management and care will be entrusted to members of our own nation. And this goal of theirs consists of breaking up the fatherland, destroying the nation, destroying the national economy, and establishing international Jewish financial hegemony. Marxism, in the form of social democracy or communism, can be defeated as long as it is confronted with a doctrine of greater truthfulness but equal brutality. Now I ask you this, do you believe that a change will occur by chance? Or are you convinced that when one sees doom inevitably approaching, it is one's duty, one's right, to rise up against it and to resist with all one's might? in order finally to go on the attack oneself. That was exactly what we all had in mind when we founded the National Socialist German Workers' Party. The goal then was clear and simple. Fight the devilish power that has plunged Germany into this misery. Fight Marxism and the spiritual bearer of this world plague and epidemic. It is not for nothing that you see so many women in our movement and here in this hall, even in a movement that has fought in the most masculine way. You see them here because the feeling of women is predominant and correctly tells them this is about the future of our children and thus about the future of our German-ness. Women once brought Christianity to the nations, and they will ultimately lead our movement to lasting victory. Be sure of this. The movement that has the fewest women also has the least strength. We started with nothing, and barely 4.5 years later, the name of the movement was on everyone's lips. The movement itself was then banned, its organization dissolved, and only with difficulty could the individual supporters try to continue working, and many, many went to prison. I believe that in just 1 year, many people's eyes will be opened. Some will have their illusions shattered, and people who still curse us today will one day stand in our ranks as new fighters. In the near future, however, your greatest task may be to win these people over. So leave all the internal strife, leave the others, even if they attack me themselves. It doesn't matter. We don't want to argue about that either. What we want is to reach out to the masses, to break them out of their present delusion. One day, the day may come when Germany will rise again under our flag. Workers of all classes and of all nations, recognize your common enemy.
I've tried not to read what other people have written, but to listen only to his speeches. Most recently, I was able to meet a German from that era. And you know what he told me? He told me that Hitler was good for Germany.
Hitler is literally one of the most misunderstood and falsely maligned people in human history. Everything about him that we've been indoctrinated to believe, from his non-subtitled speeches to understanding his veneration of Christendom. Germany for the Germans, Japan for the Japanese, like, he was trying to be conscientious about boundaries, which is what we severely lack today. And it's really important to understand that, you know, as an Asian person, the reason why I've even spoken for white racial consciousness or this movement itself being in conjunction to what I regard as the liberty movement, it's because in order for there to be alliances, there first needs to be boundaries that are identifiable to respect in the first place.
Hitler first comes into power. What's the first two laws? Okay, I'll save you the time. Rule number one, no more pornography. No more homosexuality. None of that garbage. Not allowed. Berlin, in the 30s, in the 20s, was the Sodom and Gomorrah of the day.
The first thing I believe Hitler did was remove the pornography. Because Berlin, it's my understanding, had become sort of like the San Francisco of the day.
He outlawed it. You're no longer allowed. Closed all the bars, all the gay clubs, all the production, which were all run by Jewish people.
The pornography was eliminated. I mean, getting rid of pornography, I think, is a good thing. Getting rid of usury, I think, it's a good thing.
What's the second rule? Second rule was, you're not allowed to charge interest. No more interest. Now, you would think, why? What does he care about interest? Well, because all the people that had the money, that lent the money out, were Jews. He didn't like it. So he said, no more interest. Why? Because of the high interest that the Jews charged people was so high, it ruined, it destroyed the economy in Germany. They destroyed, just like they destroyed Russia a few years before that through their communism over there. Jews destroyed Russia, not Goyim. Jews destroyed. Communism is by Jews. Well, don't let anybody confuse you.
You're hard-pressed to find anything more absolutely excruciatingly inhuman and diabolical as the Bolshevik Revolution. I hope many real Christians take a look for yourself. This period of history is something that actually is so applicable to today because the number one target of the Bolshevik Revolution then is the same as it is now. So for all you Christians out there, oh, you're very important. Indeed, very important to a certain group. The Bolsheviks felt this way. And their first order of business in this so-called revolution of theirs was to exterminate the Christians. Not just exterminate, make a point of killing them. Not just killing them, torturing them, beheading them, putting their heads on pikes, and making sure that anyone who would wish to practice any version of not only Christianity, but Christianity number one, if you even think to wear a cross on you or say, I love God or praise God, you would be dead. Not just Christianity, Islam as well, which did exist in Russia at that time as well, although it was predominantly Christian. Anybody who believed in God, there ain't no place for you. We have Theodor Herzl, who would be known as the father of Zionism. And we have a guy who is known as Karl Marx, but his real name is Moses Mordecai Levy. He is descended from a long line of so-called, not so-called, real quantifiable Talmudic Jews. Now, Moses Mordecai Levy and Theodor Herzl were nothing more than agents of the nefarious interests that many of us know now, the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds started purchasing a place in Jerusalem. They started purchasing land in Jerusalem in the early 1800s. Now, the goal of communism was not for Russia. The goal of communism, as laid out by the social architects, creators of this thing, is not for Russia. It's not even for Russia and China. It's for the world.
The fact that people are not taught this and don't know anything about it is a very good indication that the Bolsheviks are the ones who are still running the world. It should be taught. It should be taught everywhere, because that was like between 66 and 135 million Christians were killed during Bolshevism in the most brutal ways, in the most horrendous ways imaginable, like really creative ways of killing people. You know, put someone naked outside and pour cold water over them and let them freeze to death and turn into a human popsicle. Things like this. I mean, it was just absurd, really, really bad stuff. And then they cooked up this whole Holocaust of 6 million Jews, and that's all we're allowed to talk about.
Do you, in fact, accept what has been established by many
Are you
reputable
going to get the violin out
authorities?
And play me about the 6 million dead Jews?
That's just what I'm coming up to, but I'm going to put
that.
Do you or do you not?
Well, let me tell you a little story.
Accept the view that 6 million Jews were exterminated by Hitler?
Of course not. I have incontrovertible documentary proof that that's not true. I don't think they were exterminated, but I would imagine probably as many as 500,000 probably had to be dealt with as traitors, according to law, as they will be here. How about that Soviet Union? They sat on the International Court of Justice at Nuremberg. Do you believe in the Soviet justice?
Do you disbelieve in the evidence accumulated by your own government of the United States and by the government of Britain as well as the Soviet Union?
I believe in what the FBI accumulated, sir, but the FBI has not accumulated that. The people that accumulated that so-called evidence were mostly Jewish army officers, who I believe were not working for the United States. They were working for Israel.
You know, there are many pictures about the Russian liberating Auschwitz, and there's never any snow. And the snow was honestly that high. Mm-hmm. And so I have some connection with the Russian embassy, and I was there once, and I said, something puzzles me. Those photos are fakes, because there's no snow.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, yes, when the army came, they didn't have cameras, they didn't photograph. Mm. So only much later, when they realized we should have pictures of it, they took pictures, right, like you see now. But this is definitely not in Auschwitz and not the liberation of Auschwitz. There were not that many people with clothes and children and no snow.
It's really gotten into people's psyches, the concept that there was 6 million Jews who perished in World War II, and there's no proof of any of it. I urge people who really want to look into that and who really believe in the official narrative of the Holocaust to go to Germany and go to Poland and go and look at the camps. These are not death camps. I mean, I seriously believed in the Holocaust. When I was, like, if you'd come to my house in 2010 or 2011 and said you don't believe in the Holocaust, I probably would have called you a Nazi and thrown you out of the house. But in 2014, I actually visited the camps, and these are not death camps. None of the official narrative actually makes sense at all. And again, when you look at the figures, the Jewish figures, there being 15.3 million people in 1933 and 15.7 million people in 1948, well, how does the Holocaust fit into that?
You look at history, Karl Marx, all the other Rishayim, they're all Jews. Wicked, but nonetheless Jews. They destroyed Russia, and he wrote in chapter 2 of Mein Kampf, they destroyed Russia, now they're destroying Germany, that's why I have to destroy them. Now, this doesn't make he's right. The point is, that's actually real, true history.
Hitler told the Sefer Shelo, שהיהודים הם קומוניסטים. הם עשו את המהפכה ברוסיה. הם הרגו שם 30 מיליון רוסים, את כל האינטליגנציה, בצורה אכזרית ונוראה. ואת זה הם רוצים לעשות לכל העולם. הארץ הבאה בתור זה גרמניה. הם הקימו את המפלגה הקומוניסטית והסוציאליסטית הגרמנית, וזה נכון. אם אנחנו לא נתגבר אליהם עכשיו, הם יחסלו אותנו, וישחטו גם כאן 20 מיליון איש את כל האינטליגנציה. וכך הם הלכו מארץ לארץ. כשבסופו של דבר האינטליגנטים היחידים, החכמים היחידים, יהיו רק היהודים.
He wrote in his book, the Jews are the biggest threat. Why? Because they are communist. They are anti-God. They are the enemies of God. Well, the Jews that he knew, most of them, that's what they were. And he started to describe how they made the revolution in Russia. And he started to give proofs that the Jews are a big danger to Germany. Bolsheviks. They are the biggest threat to Germany. If we don't kill them now, they'll kill us all. They'll do to us what they did in Russia. That's what he wrote in his book. I never knew it until a few days ago. Not once in my life I heard it. Not in my school. Not in articles. Did you ever hear such thing? He was reading it from his book. He's writing. He say why he hated us. Why? Because we went away from Hashem. If we were all righteous and living according to the Torah and we wouldn't push our nose to become communist and anti-God, maybe it would not happen. Maybe yes, maybe not. That's only Hashem knows. But at least he declared in his main book what's the reason he hated the Jews so much. So technically, we brought it on ourselves.
והוא צודק. את המהפכה ברוסיה עשו היהודים. את הצבא הרוסי בנה טרוצקי. מי הקים את הקג"ב? לפני כן קראו לו NKVD. יהודים. אם כן, הדברים טובים מפורש. הוא לא שנא את היהודים בגלל שיש להם פאות. הוא לא שנא אותם בגלל שהם שומרים מצוות, בגלל שהם קומוניסטים. והוא כותב אותם בצורה ברורה. היהודים הרסו את הדת ואת האמונה. את זה הוא כותב כאן. אתם מבינים עכשיו למה לומדים את זה בית ספר? כי מי כותב את תוכניות הלימודים? אותם שמאלנים. הם ודאי לא יכתבו שהיטלר רצה להרוג את היהודים בגלל שהם אבות השמאל העולמי, ואבות המרקסיזם, קומוניזם, לניניזם. אבל את זה הוא כותב. הרסו את כל הערכים. הרעילו את כל הספרות והתיאטרון. מי זה אותם? יהודים שומרי תורה ומצוות הרעילו את התיאטרון הגרמני? מתוך 9 עיתונים גדולים בגרמניה, 7 היו של יהודים.
He recognized that his country was being subverted by Jews. When he took power in 1933, he saw the subversion of the Weimar Republic, the pornography, the smut theaters, the smut literature, the prostitution.
Interestingly, when this democratically elected representative named Adolf Hitler, who, by the way, was the only popularly democratically elected leader in all of Europe at the time, not Winston Churchill, not Roosevelt, no. It was Adolf Hitler. When he came to power in the same year, Judea declares war on Germany. So let's get this straight for those that don't understand. Adolf Hitler, whatever has been put in your mind about who this man is, a man who was the most popularly democratically elected leader in all of Europe, named Adolf Hitler, wins an election. And in the same year, Judea declares war against Germany. 14 million Jews of the world unite, calling for the destruction of Germany. Let's just play a role-playing game here. Let's say that America elects someone that they believe is really, really good. How would you feel as an American if you elected somebody popularly? Like, if Trump wins, he wouldn't be as popular as Adolf Hitler was, okay? If we came up with somebody noble that we could actually vote for, how would you feel if you voted for somebody, you were excited, you believed in this person, you did it democratically, verifiably, undeniably, and yet this group with this extraordinary power, with all the money, has openly declared war against America, calling for the destruction of America. So let's just reverse. Judea has now declared war on Germany because of a man that's popularly democratically elected who has committed no crime, none. If anything, he was a war hero. Sorry, maybe our president might actually be someone who actually fought in a war and is against war.
A lot of people don't understand that Judaism declared war on Germany in 1933 and that Adolf Hitler actually moved 200,000 Jews out of Germany in 1933, sent them down to Palestine. There were not 6 million Jews in all of Europe during World War II. These are very, very difficult concepts to bring to people because, unfortunately, the education system has just put this stuff into people's minds.
Understand that his intention wasn't to be a Jewish puppet. It was to free his own people because it was bad.
He said he would take the resources of the nation and that would become the birthright of the people of Germany, which by this point when he won, they were on their knees. Germans were starving by the millions, as were Americans at this time, because in 1929, the bankers crashed the economy of the world. The bankers, the same ones that declared war on Germany. Right, so the bankers instigate the banking crash, and millions, tens of millions are starving, malnourished, unemployed, economy worth nothing, money worth nothing, inflation going up, and here is this man named Adolf who wins this election. And when he won the election, the Germans were in even worse position because they had the entirety of Judea declaring war on them and openly calling for their destruction. Even an author, Kaufman, who wrote a book called Germany Must Perish. I have it. I've read it. I'm not joking. This is like serious. So I wish for Americans to play a little role play and imagine, I know it's crazy, but imagine that somehow America might have an enemy that would do something like that. How would you feel and what would you do? Well, I can tell you this. If you had a leader like Adolf, you would love him as the Germans did. They absolutely loved him because, you know what? Unlike all our politicians, he said he would do this, he would do this, he would do this, he would do this, and he would do that. Well, as far as I can tell, our politicians say that, don't they? I'll do this, and I'll do that, and I'll keep us out of this war, and I'll do... And then when they get in, they do the opposite. Well, Adolf actually did what he said.
Hitler is not somebody I can hate for doing the things that he did. And then, of course, there's the Jesse Owens testimony that it was the United States that mistreated him. It was not Hitler's Germany that mistreated him.
His name is Jesse Owens. He becomes an Olympic immortal.
In point of fact, they created political myths around Jesse Owens that never happened. Hitler never refused to shake Jesse Owens's hand. If anybody refused to shake Jesse's hand, it was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, because there was a presidential election coming up and he didn't want any pictures of him shaking the hand of a black man in the White House. America didn't believe that blacks were equal. It was the defeat of Aryan ideology.
It's notable that in the American context, these men would have been thought of as Negroes, but in the international context, they were being celebrated as Americans.
I always hear this pushback about Hitler taking Rothschild money. But you got to understand that he took what they took from the German people back from them. It wasn't even about him selling out. It's almost like, you took this from the German people. Well, okay, I'm going to allow you to co-sign me, and I'm going to run with this, bitch.
There was money that was invested into Germany. Yes. Yes, there was dirty money. There was clean money. But was there any deal like, okay, you give me this and I'll give you that? Smarty pants out there thinks that, yeah, that was the deal. It's absolute bullshit is what it is. Again, bearing no resemblance to any evidence or any factual reality.
We had to endure having millions of our fellow countrymen torn from us without their consent and without their being afforded the slightest possibility of existence.
It's easy for us to come along and say, well, Hitler should have done this, or Hitler shouldn't have done that, right? He did the best he could. He had a real threat, and he had to deal with it. And, okay, we can look back and say the way he dealt with it was not the ideal. There was probably something better he could have done. And he shipped some of them off to Palestine to get rid of them, you know, under the Havara Agreement. So he had to cut a deal with these people because they played themselves into a position of power where you have to deal with them. You can't ignore them. So he cut a deal with some of them to get Germany out from under the yoke of the worldwide war against the German economy.
So the Jews created a monster of their own making that spoke out and ended usury? I'm sorry, but that's a special kind of stupid Jew. I don't think you really want to give up that. That is your linchpin. Once you lose usury, it's over. The enemy that Adolf had became our ally. This is how dumbed down we become.
He wasn't what people said that he was. I mean, he actually was the greatest economic recovery in world history. He'd done an incredible job of recovering the nation, and then the Jews said, well, we can't have this, and they put sanctions on Germany and crippled it in 1933, and he just said, hey, look, what's going on? And he moved them all out of the country. The book burning that we talk about, Hitler burned all these books, these are all the transgender LGBTQ stuff that we want to burn today, that they're trying to push in our society today. It was all perverse homosexuality and pornography. That's the books that they burned in Germany.
The plight of the Nazis was a valid and important one. And I do think that they accurately identified the issue. You have a guy who is trying to do the right thing. He's trying to liberate his people from some of the most grotesque things, things that we're seeing in our own society today. We saw the same thing in Weimar. A lot of these themes, as far as exploring the fluidity of gender, aiming that idea at children, exploiting the sexuality of children, these are things that have already happened. In many ways, what we're looking at is history repeating itself. And I would say that if you look at who's controlling the media, because all of this culture is downstream from the media, all of these concepts are shoehorned into our culture through the media, through these giant corporations like Netflix and Hulu and all these different things. If you look at who is at the top, the organizations that control these, you know, giant cultural entities, there's always Jews at the top of them. So it's hard to take those two things in conjunction and say, well, sure, historically, there's a precedence for this having happened already. And well, sure, there is seemingly the same events taking place right now in modern day. You can trace them down to the very last names. It would be hard to separate those in my mind and say, no, they don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, gay people don't procreate. It's about depopulation. All of this stuff is about depopulation and disempowerment. The head of Vanguard and BlackRock are all Jewish CEOs. And BlackRock and Vanguard's an interesting thing. When you look at BlackRock, you find the main shareholders are Vanguard. You look at Vanguard, the main shareholders are BlackRock. So how does this work, you know?
They control the money system. They steal most people's money. And then they've got all the money in the world to control and do whatever they want and use propaganda, create wars, which they usually control both sides. They've got a stranglehold on most things, and it's mostly because Most people will still sell their souls for money, which is very unfortunate. That's what we're seeing in the world today, is so many people have sold their souls. So how many doctors, how many nurses didn't say anything during the whole COVID plandemic and vaccine genocide because they just wanted to keep getting those dollars, which were all being given to them through mostly the Jews / Zionists. Pfizer's run by Albert Bourla. He's a Zionist Jew. They, almost all of them were in the COVID operation, which was an operation actually to depopulate the earth, which is another thing they want to do. Their essential end game is to depopulate quite a bit, keep enough people to work for them as slaves, and impoverish the rest and make everyone else sick and profit from it.
This is the reality. The usury banksters have taken over our world. What their real intention is to have a one-world government with no nation states. They're imploding America for this reason right now. Right now. Right now. If you think it's just going to keep on going as normal, you are starting to enter into blindingly stupid.
I knew something was going on, and I knew that, like, we were getting fucked with. I just couldn't figure out why. And I was like, you know, just fucking right under your nose. But I was so brainwashed, you know, by the fucking media and just this narrative that we continue to get told of, like, the struggling Jew, which is so strange because they're not struggling. They're massively overrepresented in every single field, and they're fucking crushing it by, like, all metrics. Like, there's no metric that doesn't say that they're not crushing it, whether it's, you know, fucking 55% of the billionaires or, you know, 70%. You know, it's like they're just, I think it's like 75% of the president's Ivy League schools, like the CEOs of like all these big hedge funds, banks, like government positions. It's like they're so overrepresented that nobody should ever say anything other than like, you know, look, they're the ones pushing the DEI. You want to push DEI, you need to fucking, you know, remove about, you know, 100x. Of your representation. I mean, they're like 75% of like sports teams ownerships in the NBA. I mean, it's just like, it's not a coincidence that 2% of the population is like 90% of a lot of these fields.
Someone tweeted at me, why are Jews so weak and bad at sports? Now, does this guy actually believe it? I doubt it. He just thought it would get me angry. But what it actually was a fastball down the middle. And so I just excerpted his tweet and said, well, of course, Jews are don't really participate in athletics. That's what we use to divert the energy of the Gentiles while we take over the systems of power.
We must realize that our party's most powerful weapon is racial tension. By propounding into the consciousness of the dark races that for centuries they have been oppressed by the whites, we can mold them to the program of the Communist Party. In America, we will aim for subtle victory. While inflaming the Negro minority against the whites, we will instill in the whites a guilt complex for their exploitation of the Negroes. We will aid the Negroes to rise to prominence in every walk of life, in the professions and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause.
I'm sure no intelligent white person watching this show, or no intelligent white man in his or her right white mind, want black boys and black girls marrying their white sons and daughters, and in return introducing their grandchildren as half-brown, kinky-haired black people.
I wouldn't object to that.
Well, you wouldn't, but a lot of them would.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people would. No, this is the point.
What I'm trying to say is this. And you don't have it. You say you don't, but you don't have it. You really ain't going to have it. You're on the show, and you got to say that.
No, that's not true.
Why would you want to do that?
Because I don't think I'm any different from you. You see?
Yeah, we're much different.
I mean, I think society's made us different.
You know, we're different. We're all together.
But society's made us different.
No, not society. God made us different.
No, we're just human beings. He made all of us.
We all listen. Bluebirds fly with bluebirds. Red birds want to be with red birds. Listen. Tell me when I'm wrong. Pigeons want to be with pigeons.
But
tell me when I'm
wrong.
Well, we should have. They don't have intelligence, but yet they stay together. We should have more intelligence than them, right?
I understand. I think it's sad that
it ain't sad because I want my child to look like me. Every intelligent person wants his child to look like him. I'm sad because I want to blot out my race and lose my beautiful identity. You a hater of your people if you don't want to stay who you are. You shame what God made you. God didn't make no mistake when he made us all like we were.
I think that's a philosophy of despair.
Despair.
I really do.
It ain't no despair. No woman on this whole earth, not even a black woman in Muslim countries, can please me and cook for me and socialize and talk to me like my American black woman. No woman, at last is a white woman, can really identify with me and my feelings and the way I act and the way I talk. It's just nature. You can do what you want, but it's nature to want to be with your own. I want to be with my own. I love my people. That's all. I don't hate nobody.
It seems to me that Jewish individuals own a lot of the media and fund a lot of the politicians that make demands on behalf of the black community for things like reparations, while another group of Jewish individuals tend to take the intellectual lead in combating the initiatives that was proposed by this first group. And the result being that black workers and white workers end up fighting each other while Jewish individuals assume leadership and profit from the situation.
I think you're largely right. I don't think that the Jewish leadership on either side particularly profits. I think they're doing what they are convinced is correct.
Talmudic tactics are effective in getting power, but the problem is you have to sell out the people. And that is exactly what they do. For example, notice the hypocrisy. Anytime you look at any quote-unquote white privilege, unfortunately, that is actually Jewish privilege. So in a way, actually, I'm oddly saying the left has some validity about white privilege, but it's not white people. It's Jews. Like, for example, the best case of this is Harvard studies. So in Harvard, anytime you see an acceptance rate that is high for pale-skinned people, we'll say, they're actually Jews, but they lump themselves into white people. And that allows it to look like there's a white privilege that's substantiated, which isn't the case. So they pretend to be white when it serves them, and they don't pretend to be white when it serves them.
Some Jews are white, like me. But our whiteness is conditional, and that's why it's different. We are not always white. We are white when it is convenient. We are white when our whiteness boosts the numbers of white people in order to oppress people of color. We are white until we're fucking not. And when we're not, we are almost hated in a different way because we can fool you with our whiteness. I have benefited from white privilege my whole life.
I am a Jew. I am Jewish. I'm a proud Jew girl. Hi, I'm Jewish. Nice to meet you. And as a Jew, I've experienced anti-Semitism because I am part of a minority. See, Judaism is an ethno-religion. Ethno-religion? What does that mean? It means that even though I'm an atheist, I still consider myself Jewish because it's part of my ethnicity. And here's an even bigger bombshell. Jews are not white. And that might be disappointing for some of you because you love playing the oppression Olympics. White people are, of course, the bad guys. You love victims.
That way they can have both the power of being the victim and the power of being the accuser. You can look at their own books. Forget about critics, forget about podcasters and cultural commentators telling you about their thoughts and pigeonholing. If you think they're pigeonholing, look at it yourself.
The Talmud actually talks about and normalizes eight different genders in the Talmud. Eight different genders. You can get online and look this up. The Jewish Virtual Encyclopedia talks about the eight genders in the Talmud. All right, so that's where this comes from. This idea that men can be women and women can be men and both can be neither and everybody can be both and more. This is not a Christian, white, European, Arab, Muslim idea. This is not a Muslim, Christian, Arab, European way of thinking. This is a Jewish way of thinking, born from thousands of years of Jewish thought and scripture and culture.
My spirituality is based on the grace of God. So I stay in my place, I pray, and I stay healthy, and God blesses me. Well, their spirituality is Promethean, and it's a very different animal.
I have a black friend in school. I have nothing against blacks. She has nothing against me. She understands where I'm coming from.
Excuse me, I'm a Jew, and I just like to say that, you know, in our Bible it says that you're like animals.
The Jews crucified our God.
They don't want us to pry into it. That's why they say these things. And what does the actual written word say about Jesus Christ? Well, they say he's in hell. They say he's in the lowest layer of hell. They say he is swimming in excrement. They say that the Virgin Mary was a whore. They say a lot of blasphemous things, and that's what gets you going. You realize, okay, if these people don't accept Christ, what does that say about their spirituality? Do they really even believe in a God? Are they truly monotheistic? And that's where certain lines start to connect, and that's where you start to see explanatory powers about what's really going on in the power structure.
From the outside, you appear to be a nice Jewish girl.
Definitely.
And you all are worshiping the devil inside the home?
Right. There's other Jewish families across the country, not just my own family.
Really? But what kinds of things went on in the family?
Well, there would be rituals in which babies would be sacrificed.
You witnessed the sacrifice?
Right. When I was very young, I was forced to participate in that, in which I had to sacrifice an infant.
And the purpose of sacrifice is to what? Is to bring you what? What are you sacrificing for?
For power.
Uh-huh. Power.
It shows you that perhaps these people are more obsessed with power because of the conditions that they're trained and studying under.
You love the oppressor versus oppressed narrative because you need someone to cheer for. Well, guess what? We can take care of ourselves. Thank you very much.
It is written in the Talmud, only the Jew is human. Non-Jews are not called human. They are seen as animals, and because we Jews consider the non-Jews to be animals, we refer to them only as goy.
It's time for Jews to be feared. It's time for Jews to be feared.
I get frightened to talk about it. You know, you start.
I know.
And we're afraid of Jews.
I'm afraid of Jews. I'm 100% afraid of Jews.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Which, as we started it, aside from James Caan, we have no one to be afraid of.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's those Republican Jews, buddy.
No, it's scary. But, yeah, I mean, but like, we're Jews. We can say whatever we want about them.
Well, they're kicked out of 109 countries. When you start looking at it, people will blame Zionists. Well, hang on, Zionism's only been around for 150 years at most. These people were kicked out of 109 countries 1,030 times over a 2,000-year period. Perhaps there's something wrong with these people. Perhaps they're doing bad things. Perhaps they've tried to undermine every country that ever hosted them. The way when they fled Bolshevik Russia, and they got caught out, they fled Russia. Germany invited them into come to Germany, and look what they did to Germany. They tried to completely deplete that. And then when they left there, they sent them down to Palestine. And again, like Adolf Hitler sent them to Palestine in the transfer agreement in 1933, transferred all their assets, sent them down to Palestine, and the Palestinians took them in, and look what they've done to them.
It is not a bombastic thing to say that what is happening to the children of Gaza, they would readily do to white America if they can do so and enact it without getting any reprimanding punishment. And that sounds dramatic, but the reality is because in order for a person to climb the ladder of Judaism, the tutelage as a young Jew, you need to embrace the separation of the Gentiles and the chosen.
אוקיי, מה זאת אומרת, כאילו, אמורים להיות?
לפי מה שכתוב בתורה, הגויים אמורים להיות העבדים שלנו.
הגויים יהיו העבדים שלנו?
כן, כתוב, אחרי ביאת המשיח, אני אומר, כתוב, אחרי ביאת המשיח, אני לא יכול להביא את הפסוק המדויק, אבל כתוב שאחרי ביאת המשיח יהיה מלחמה מאוד מאוד גדולה, ובסופו של דבר, כן, הגויים יהיו העבדים של היהודים במשך תקופה, ואחרי זה העולם יחזור כאילו לקדמותו. זה מה שאני...
אוקיי, ומה זה אומר עבדים? כאילו, יהיו בשרשרות? כאילו, מה, אנחנו נרביץ להם? כאילו, מה?
לא. על כל, טוב, אני לא אותם להביא את המספר המדויק, על כל יהודי אמור להיות 800. 800 או יותר עבדים. ועבדים זה משהו שהוא, אתה יודע, זה לא יכול להגדיר אותו היום, כי אין עבדות היום. אבל זה משהו שקשה מאוד להגדיר אותו. אני מניח ש... כי התורה מצווה.
Where in the Torah does it say this, by the way?
In the Zohar.
The Zohar is not the Torah. The Talmud. Why?
Zohar, the Torah, Gemara, Chumash, Tehillim, Akol, it's one big Torah.
Okay, you're talking about everything in Judaism. I'm talking about
the five books of Moses. No,
everything is together. It's not separate.
Okay, but so where is it in the Zohar? Yeah. It's actually written in the Zohar. What's written in the Zohar?
What's written is that all the mankind will want to be a servant for the Jewish people.
Where does that source come from? Just one.
Look, one of the prayers we say on the after Sabbath and show it to the bread.
Okay.
We'll see the bread.
Yeah, sure. And what does it mean? I mean, that's or what do the interpretations say it means?
Is it Hebrew? Yeah. I mean, your lend to the goyim.
Okay, I don't know that word.
And you won't borrow. You lend them the money. Mashalta b'goyim rabim.
Rule.
You rule over the goyim. Ubechaloyim shalu.
These are all promises brought in the Torah that if you would keep the Torah, then
you would be a great person. Yavducha amim.
Are you Jewish? Do you want to honor God? That is the godly thing to do. We respect one another.
The godly thing to do is to kill you.
The godly thing is to kill me.
That's right. That's what the Torah says.
The Torah says to kill us.
The Torah says that people who worship idols such as yourself, when there is a Sanhedrin,
to kill us.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what the Torah
says. So we know how the Jewish people feel about Christians, yes?
אז אוטומטי עדיין הם עוד לא משרתים אותנו לגמרי, רק חלקית.
כל אחד יהיה לו, כשמשיח יבוא, אז כל אחד יהיה לו...
יהיה לו
אלפים עבדים.
בינתיים, המשיח לא כאן, אז איך הם משרתים אותנו? הם בונים לנו רכבים, צירות, בניינים.
הם
בונים את זה, למה? משרתים את היהודים.
אבל יש גם יהודים שעושים את זה.
Not only as a nation they'll cease to exist, even as individuals. As goyim, they're gone. Their personality, they're as they exist bifnei atzmam, as they would exist independently of Klal Yisrael, they don't exist. They're done. In modern terminology, they call it cultural genocide. There's a term for it by the progressives. It's called cultural genocide. And Itaki used the word genocide. So that's the opinion who says that they'll be annihilated, they basically learn there's going to be cultural genocide. That, you know what, the goyim as they exist as goyim, that's done with.
Jews control the world. But let me tell you a little secret. In many ways they do. Because our influence is beyond any type of rational understanding. We are a minute percentage of the world. And yet the impact of Jews and Judaism on the world is incalculable. In every single sphere, even sometimes in negative spheres, like communism and psychoanalysis.
Gadol habal haktana, bon agit kacha, velochlu, ki ma ze ktana lezorech ha'inyan haze, pachot mibat shalosh. הבתולים שלה חוזרים מאליהם. לכן גדול הבעל הקטנה זה לא כלום, זה לא נחשב לביאה. ופחות מכאן, פחות מגיל 3, כנותן אצבע בעין דמי. כמו שמענו, אתה נותן אצבע בעין, זולגת דמעה. אבל אחרי זה העין מתבהרת, ודמעה אחרת מחליפה אותה.
It's written in their Bible that it's like okay to fucking, you know, lie to Gentiles, okay to fuck over Gentiles, you know, they're better than Gentiles, like Gentiles are meant to serve them. And it's like, if their belief system is that they're better and there's no consequences for cheating or lying or any of this stuff, then it's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, it actually shouldn't be a surprise.
What difference does it make if it's a baby? Or if it's an adult, it's the same thing. This baby will eventually be an adult. And this baby will eventually try to harm you. Do it to him before he does it to you. And you better do it. Because he is your enemy. Sworn enemy. So because he is your sworn enemy, guess what? He has to be to you a sworn enemy too. You understand? That's the idea, the basic idea of why there's no pity whatsoever.
According to various rabbinic opinions, it would be seemingly permissible to kill children.
If you want to eliminate Israel, then we don't want you in our country. We really don't want you in our country.
If you're 2% of the pie, but you're all working together, it's actually easy to beat the 98% if they're completely fucking infighting and uncoordinated and, you know, and uninformed.
We cannot continue to survive in this system. This system is designed to destroy us.
It's actually been these systems that are in place that allow this kind of infiltration, this sort of occupation. Without these systems being in place and without people allowing them and giving them their power, there'd be nothing to occupy.
I don't believe that I, as a person, can save the world. I know that I cannot. But I know this, we can. We the hell can. And there is no savior coming to save us, waiting for fucking billionaires and stuff.
Maybe our ancestors aren't the anti-Semitic, irrational haters the Jews would have us believe. Maybe we should believe our ancestors about these people. They hate what we have to say. They hate the truth. They don't like us talking about it. They don't like us saying what they're doing to us and what they're doing to the world and what they have done to the world. And so they use their tyranny, their financial power, and their organizational power that they've amassed over time to control our speech online and to censor us.
But if we suddenly believe in ourselves and we drop this belief in authority and actually believed in the power of humanity and the power of what we are, the whole thing goes away. And I see this as a huge opportunity for us to do that. Will we do it is another good question. But I don't even think it needs all of the people to do it. I think just those of us who are awake, I think we could... It's got to a point where the society is really going to have to implode, but it's going to be what comes after that, you know? Are we going to be looking for people to help us, or are we going to simply do it ourselves?
If we don't correct this problem that exists in Washington, D.C., and as well the 50 state capitals of our country, then the rest of the world is going to suffer. And the rest of the world will be occupied by the octopus. Surely you are concerned at this point. Hopefully you're not so fucking woke that everything is just Jim Dandy with you. The writing is most definitely on the wall. Whether you choose to read it or not, well, that's up to you.
Hush, hush, don't you say a word. Who runs the Federal Reserve? The weak find contentment in the consensus of ignorance. Now don't be defensive, didn't pay attention to fake events. You get what you get. They invade in every country, control the banks, the states, the money. Making a profit, bought your sovereignty. Now they've occupied your mind. Hush, hush, don't you say a word. Who runs the Federal Reserve?
So RFK Jr. is heading up Health and Human Services, and of course we have Elon Musk, who's heading up DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, looking into all of the unnecessary spending. How about we look into spraying the skies with poison? How about we look into weather modification? Yeah, it's not a secret anymore. We've all seen them spraying the skies. You can go outside and see the perfectly crisscrossed patterns. This mysterious fog that appeared, you guys remember that? People were just getting sick all over the place. Bioweapons being sprayed in the sky. We've seen graphene oxide samples, and now deadly bacteria is found in this deadly fog. You're getting poison everywhere. And so, of course, the old playbook is make it impossible to get real treatments that actually help you and instead push you to Big Pharma, scare the hell out of you, and make you go get a deadly injection. No, not anymore. Remember ivermectin? It was hard to get to. Remember hydroxychloroquine? It was hard to get to. Doxycycline, dexamethasone, all of the things that actually treated people that were demonized by the murderous press. It's all available right here, right now, in the emergency kit that I've been telling you about. Get the ivermectin, get the hydroxychloroquine, the dexamethasone, get it all right here in this travel size case. It's ready to go. Guidebook for safe and easy use inside of this thing, putting urgent care right at your fingertips. Plus, it includes the immunity-boosting Z-Sac nutraceutical, giving your body the extra defense that it needs on the daily, whether it's a sudden bacterial infection or a bioweapon attack, maybe a respiratory illness or something more severe. The Z-Kit has you covered. The purchasing process is fully digital. All it takes, just fill out a quick little digital form. Within 1 to 2 weeks, your kit arrives at your front door just as mine did at mine. Don't let illnesses and bioweapons catch you off guard. Order your Z-Kit right now at the famous ZStackProtocol.com. Go to ZStackProtocol.com and then use code SPN to save up to $48 plus get free shipping. Up to $48 off plus free shipping for this. It was hard to get ivermectin. Remember, it probably will be again. Hydroxychloroquine, dexamethasone, doxycycline. All of these things are included right here, plus a guide for safe use. Go to ZStackProtocol.com and use the promo code SPN. $48 off plus free shipping. And because we're America first and America only, it's available to American residents only. ZStackProtocol.com. AirWaterHealing.com is the leading manufacturer in filterless air purification systems. Whether you're dealing with pollen or mold or dust, shedding from your pet or vaccinated neighbors, mRNA spike protein shedding. AirWaterHealing.com has solutions for every scenario at home, at work, or on the go. Breathe with confidence. Don't let your air suck. Rest well knowing that your home is protected 24/7. So now you can get a unit for your home or a portable unit for on-the-go travel. That's AirWaterHealing.com. Use promo code STU for 10% off when you go to AirWaterHealing.com.
Are you using your phone or is it using you? Rise above mass surveillance and discover a phone that protects your privacy and communications. Above Phone does everything your old phone does, without tracking you, while giving you complete control over your phone and apps. We are better than big tech. It works with any cell service. No forced logins. No advertising or tracking. Download apps privately. Control your phone and its apps with secure hardware. Introducing Above Suite. Includes a VPN, private email and calendar, private chats, video calls, internet phone, and a search engine. Don't worry if you're new. Every phone includes a free 45-minute live call. You also get free email and chat support, free guides, and video courses. You have the power.
Rise above with Above Phone.